Well, hello, everyone. This is Pam Geyer with Living Hip. I am so excited. Today, we have a very special guest. And quite honestly, I have been so excited about this because you are in for such a treat. You know her, but you might not know her. And you did get the introduction, so you know she is a big deal. And when I know she's going to laugh, but she'll be the first to tell you she's just an ordinary girl from the Midwest with big dreams, a sick work ethic that served her as long as it could. But things did change and she has quite a story to tell. I just want to go on and on, but Sherry Salata, I did your formal introduction.
Oh, Pam, that is so nice. Thank you so much. And it always like when I hear that, even like when I have to like listen to my formal introduction, it's like, ooh, wow, that's something, yeah. You know, that really is, that's really something. And I just feel like just me, I'm still that girl who grew up in Waukegan, Illinois, and hoped that I could make something out of myself. And interestingly enough, I'm still doing that.
Love it. Do we ever arrive?
No, we never arrive. And that is good news.
Yes.
That is good news because once you arrive, it's over. Then it's on to the next dimension. So the good news for us is every day that we wake up and we get to say, yay, I'm still here. We get to keep creating. We get to keep innovating. We get to keep loving. We get to keep rising and becoming more and becoming more and becoming more and becoming more. And that's the dance of this joyride.
That's the dance. I love it. Well, I have lots of questions for you. And, you know, I'm going off script, of course, right away, because I had all these questions prepared. But, you know, you all have learned, those of our viewers have learned, Sherry is arguably the world-class producer that has produced the most famous show behind the most famous brand for 2 decades. You did that. And that was your life. What is it like walking out of that and into, like, tell us what happened. Cause I know you're not going to go back. You've had the best teachers in the world, but
I have had the best teachers in the world. And listen, I'm going to start with the excavation of my own knowing here, cause this might just totally shock you and everybody who's joining us for this conversation, that right this minute, right this second, I'm sitting here in my house at my kitchen table having this conversation with you in the midst of, I have some other interesting work things going on today. I'm doing a workshop tonight. I am more on purpose and happier right now than I've ever been in my life.
I just got chills.
Than I've ever been in my life, more on purpose, more on mission, and happier than I've ever been in my whole life right this minute. And that's very good news, because for a lot of us who, you know, you might be a person who's raised a bunch of kids and now they're off doing their thing and you're like, that was my identity. What now? Or you might have had a big stressful but sexy job like I had. And what are you without that label? And I am here with glad tidings, my friends, that if you use whatever you did, whatever you created, whatever interesting things you stirred up in your 20s and 30s and 40s and even early 50s, if you use that as a bouncing off place for now your next great adventure, you can be saying the same thing that I'm saying right now. No matter what you accomplished, no matter what you created, that right now, right this minute, you have never been happier and more on purpose. And that is my message.
I love it. Because what did you do? I've read about what you've done, but you went in.
I mean, it was, you know, for me, because I often did not follow the North Star of move in the direction of what feels good, that I always wait too long to leave a situation. I always, you know, it's like, I wasn't in touch or conscious of my own, sense of emotions. I didn't think that my happiness was my top priority. And so, you know, there's a sense of when it's time to move on, there's a sense of being ill at ease. Something's not quite right. What's going on? And the truth is that it was easy for me to default everything to my top of the shoot for the moon, unbelievable career. It was easy for me to default everything to that because I was good at it. And I got a lot of validation for that. So now, if you grew up having some worthiness and achievement entanglements, you know, if my worthiness is tied to achievement, then, you know, forget intimacy and forget health and forget those other things. Those are just things that are about me. This is about, you know, my worth and worthiness. So obviously I was not really unable to untangle that until I got out of it and I could look at it and I could see, wow, that probably started for you the first honor roll that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, oh, Sherry, you're so smart. Oh, look at you. And I was like, ding, 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 ding. Love achievement. Ding. So that initial moving out of what I knew, because, you know, I didn't start in the land of Oprah till I was 35. So I had had 14 years of other job experiences. So my job experience really was, you know, much longer. It's like 35 years mm-hmm. of working for others, whether it's corporations or a person. And, you know, so what was beginning to seem clear to me was that people who were running their own companies had a lot of freedom that I wanted, a lot of freedom to decide how to spend their time, a lot of freedom to make their own decisions. And when you're working for somebody else or another company, your job is to put their lenses on
sure.
and get things the way they want it. And fortunately for me, for most of that time, you know, and most of the time, you know, my mission, my sense of purpose was very much aligned with my bosses. Mm-hmm. And so that's a happy thing. That's when you feel good and you feel like you're contributing at a high level. But the opportunity to like figure out, what do I want to do? What is it like come out from behind the scenes, I guess is what I'm saying, Pam, and stand in my own light.
And you are shining. And I have to say, I can't wait to talk. We're going to talk more about this book, but the beautiful no, I mean, I literally teared up. I laughed a gazillion times because it's funny. Like there are things that we all relate to, but what I think is just amazing, it's a story of transformation.
Yeah.
It is every woman's story, in my opinion. And I also am bold enough to say, anyone in midlife, every woman needs to read this book. So I am going to be it's a must read because
I'm so glad.
It doesn't matter. We have different lives. You know,
the details are different, but the feelings are the same. Are they not?
Oh my gosh. I felt like I was having coffee with a girlfriend and we were laughing and I just, it's so real. It's so raw. And it took courage to write that. And it took such courage to do what you have done and what you are doing.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, the truth is, as I got into writing my memoir, which means, and I could see that it was only interesting if I got really vulnerable, there were plenty of times I wanted to quit and not do it. Because my comfort being behind the scenes was absolute. You know, I knew how to be dedicated and tell somebody else's story, but doing that for myself felt very scary. And there, you know, like I remember, I specifically remember the day, the last day, the final draft, pressing send and being like, Little did I know that telling my story with vulnerability and going out and sharing it with other women was going to be my great healing. It was going to be my great healing. It's like, okay, there you go. It's all out there.
Aligning with our true self. But also you always have this ability. You're visionary. You seem to know how to get yourself out of that state of that we all get into. We either feel stuck or we will get so into everything. I laughed at you and Nancy at the gym and you know, your trainer and all of that.
With all the models and actresses.
I can relate to that, especially this time of year, but it's funny. And it's, you know, we go all in and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I don't know if I can do this, but you cast a vision for yourself and transform and really arise to the occasion. How is that? What is it?
Well, I mean, I think the question that awaited me, because there was such a stark at 56, which is what I was when I embarked on my own, there was such a stark contrast between my career and the rest of my life that I was like, ew, this is bad, you know? And I knew, like, I was almost afraid to look. It's like when you don't get on the scale when you've been in a pandemic for 2 years.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And you've been wearing nothing but knits and haven't been out of your house. You know, it's like, and that's what my reckoning was like, which was, you're going to have to look at everything and really see what you've created here across the board, not just in that big fancy thing you did. And I remember thinking very pointedly that unless I could find that tender, compassionate voice that I would use with anybody else I cared about and use that voice to conduct my reckoning and take a look at it, I wouldn't survive the shame and the shock and the sadness of all the ways in which I had either betrayed myself, not had my own back, not taken care of myself. I mean, I think that moment that was so sobering was realizing that I had been an untrustworthy steward of my own well-being. Because that's really what we are.
Yeah.
We're stewards. We're given the stewardship of this life experience. And it's ours to design and to manage and to love and to appreciate. And I had been untrustworthy with myself. And that was very sober, very saddening, but I did it with such tenderness that it didn't kill me. That I could really feel the truth of that. I could grieve it. I could grieve the things I hadn't done, the ways that I had let myself down, and then make new decisions. And the big decision, Pam, was, which is something I think we all share in the middle of life. You have to make a decision for yourself. Is this all there is, or is there more? Do you have to just settle right now for what you've created because of cultural messages or the way you were trained by the three generations of women who came before you and who didn't have training themselves? Or are you going to say, as long as I'm breathing, I get to manifest and create the life of my dreams? That is the decision at hand. And when I was when I took myself through this process and I asked myself that question, I said, hell no, that's not all there is. I mean, as long till I take my last breath, I need to be summoning that life force. I need to be manifesting the life of my dreams. I need to be, you know, shifting, moving in the direction of what feels good and being in such a state of appreciation that nothing can knock me down again.
Amazing. Amazing. And you allowed yourself to be in that space, which is you were finally ready. You have been probably a student of this for many years,
yeah.
But until you allowed yourself the time and space to look at it and make the decision. And then you also, I love what you talk about with the gentle voice, like you would talk to a friend. And I find I work with a lot of women, I coach them, and we are so hard on ourselves.
Oh yeah.
And it's crazy. We would never talk to daughters, nieces, girlfriends.
Never.
Yeah, we do that.
Over and over again. That's a pattern on repeat. Yeah.
So how does that work long-term for you? Because obviously you really put yourself into this beautiful, beautiful life of really it's designed for, and you surround yourself with the beauty that's important to you. But also you know that we've got the voices, right? The voice.
Well, here's the big decision that we all get to make, Pam, is are we going to live consciously or not? And you're right. I had the wisest people on the planet coming through my workplace and I took copious notes, but I didn't consistently make the internal shift to consciousness, which is, what is that story I'm telling my head? And is that what I want my future to be? And if I don't, I better change that story. You're speaking your future into being. We're casting spells on ourselves.
Yeah.
So what is it that you want to create? What is it you want to manifest? You want to manifest more joy, more love, more excitement, more passion. Then you can't be walking around complaining, being unconscious, ripping yourself to pieces, judging everybody, because you really are judging yourself. You can't walk around unhappy.
Right.
And contributing those stories to your own unhappiness. You can't do it. So that is, and I would like to say this. This is the big revelation. You think you haven't been practicing because you haven't paying attention. But you have been practicing. You've been practicing tearing yourself to pieces. And the only way to set off on a new path, which I call the path of transformation, you got to start practicing something different and laying new patterns over those old ones.
Yeah. It's a pathway. It's scientific, actually. Those pathways are
real pathways, deep grooves,
which I know. Cause I will do the work and I'll find myself regress. And then you just redirect, right? You just
get back on.
And the more you
I mean, that's the work, for lack of a better word, which is you want to close the gap.
Yes.
You're going to be human. You're going to fall off. You're going to start in your old patterns. You're going to react to something. You're going to be in a snit about something. And then as soon as possible, you want to pull yourself back and say, yes, all that is true, but that is really not where I'm going. So let me focus on where I'm going and let me raise my vibration and become a match to the future I say I want.
I love it. What gets you out of bed in the morning? What gets you so excited these days or joyful?
Yeah. Oh gosh.
And I know it's a tough time.
I have such a sense of ease though.
I love that.
I've never had such a sense of ease where I'm kind of in flow. And if something's not, lining up the way I think it should, I get curious about it rather than feeling like I need to spring into action. So, my days are delightfully integrated. The work that I'm doing in the world is integrated into my life because it's the only conversation I want to have. I don't really want to talk about anything else,
right?
But transformation and about vibration and about manifesting your dream life. I really don't. Because that's the conversation I want to have.
Right.
So what gets me up in the morning? What I'm doing right now, which is I do, you know, twice a year, I do a big digital course. I have a private membership group. And I pack it with this conversation, and I'm really doing that for myself, but I'm happy to share, you know, and I'm happy to bring people inside the tent to have the conversation with me. So that feels like, that's like, it's not even a job.
Oh, I love
that's,
it.
That's what I was telling you. I'm so on purpose now. I'm
you
just
are. On purpose. You're on purpose. You're aligned. That's why you're at ease. That's why you're completely, and I do believe that's a divine invitation for all of us.
For sure.
And you're following it. And as a result, you are inspiring many other women. But, you know, I just feel like so many women need to hear the message of what you have to say, because I think we all get caught in our daily life. And this is an opportunity to take a step back and to evaluate and assess. And I love it. I love the sweat lodge. I love that you going to the desert. So for the woman that can't go to the desert and find that time and space, what do you recommend she do to take a look at her life?
Listen, I've done a lot of big things, you know, and I've done a lot of big things that didn't stick, as I'm sure many of people who are joining us have done as well. So here's what I've come to see. The big trajectory changes are all the little things that add up over time. So I do a breath practice that takes 2.5 minutes. I put my hands on my heart. I do a triangle breath, 5 counts in, 5 count hold, 5 count exhale. I throw in a little mantra of the day, and that's it. And that can be done every morning with a lit candle without fail.
Love it.
You know, you don't make it so hard that you're not going to do it.
That's right. That's right. I'm working with someone right now, and I just, you know, about a gratitude practice. I'm like, just name 5 things every day. And if you're having a tough morning, it could be, I woke up. As simple as that, or it could be the
littlest things, the littlest things. And those done over time, it starts to shift your point of attraction. It shifts what's going on. And then it becomes easier to be appreciative, to see the good. Then all of a sudden you're able to see, you know what, this feels better. And I like going in this direction. And I like spending time with these people. And just leaning into feeling good ends up becoming this unbelievable compass toward the life you always said you wanted.
Yeah. And everyone is deserving of that.
Everybody. Right. And it doesn't have to cost you any monies,
right?
Because it's you, it's all within you. I love the word guru as it's originally intended, which is teacher. But I will say this, what I've come to see, having produced so many wonderful gurus, that at a certain point, you're going to have to become your own teacher. You're going to have to pull out that wisdom from your own deepest knowing of what's right for you. And there isn't going to be anybody else that's going to come along and fix, manage, and control your life. And that's good news.
This is that right there. That right there. You are your own and your best guru, teacher. Follow that inner compass, that inner guidance, that inner wisdom.
Yeah.
That right there. And why, as women, do we ignore that?
Well, here's what I'm going to say. There's a lot of generational things we're contending with. You know, if you look along the timeline of the women who've come before you, who participated in raising you and training you, think about it. I mean, like in the 1900s, which was just 20 years ago, we were just talking about civil rights and women's right to vote, and women were property. So along that timeline, you've been trained by women who were trained a certain way, and only now, Pam, in my view, only now is there a different framing and a different sense of possibility that is reorganizing how women get trained. Like a woman right now who's 19 or 20, very different from you and I in terms of maybe less codependency, less problem with boundaries, more likely to do self-care and put herself first and not feel like she's being selfish, knows that she is the center of her universe because we all are.
Right.
And there's just, we're on the leading edge now. There's more knowing. There's more understanding about the quantum world and spirituality and what's possible. There's the information is now public and it's available. Now for those of us who were trained a certain way, we're going to have to heal our codependency, and we're going to have to practice setting boundaries, and we're going to have to tell ourselves a new story, and we're going to have to overcome that training we were given. But I'm here to tell you, we can. When you cross that river and get to the other side with more to go, but you go, oh my gosh, this life thing is fantastic. What was I thinking? Why was I thinking this was so hard and I was kind of running out the clock? No, it's so good.
Right. And tell me, you know, an interesting thing. Can we talk about aging for a minute? Because you reference, you know, mid-50s, especially in the book you talk about. That's why I was just like, oh my goodness, everything you shared is so true. And it's so interesting to me because every decade, I'm mid-50s now, but every decade I think I get wiser, but then I look back at my 30, I'm like, oh no. What is it? Okay, so when we hit, quote, midlife, mid-50s, when truly for so many of us, it's the beginning, because literally, we usually are in a different place financially, and we're ready for that. We've got the energy as long as we can do the work of letting go and letting in.
Right.
And listening to our inner guru. And I love that you call it that.
Yeah.
It's an incredible time of growth. So what difference do you see for those decades as people move through the, you know, 30s, 40, in your 40s, and then in your 50s?
Well, I think what happens in your 50s, and I'll speak from my own experience, is that you no longer are operating from the perspective that you're going to live forever. And which means you must experience the grieving of the lives you didn't create that you thought you were going to create, the things that you thought you were going to do that you didn't do. And once you get that cleared away, those disappointments and heartaches and that pain around what you didn't do, then you can reassess if you're willing to make the decision that you're just getting started. And here's the great news. You have new tools. How about this? You're just not going to put up with the crap anymore. You know what I mean? Like you're going to one day when you decide to become that trustworthy steward of your own well-being, and you bump into a longtime friend who is passive aggressive, manipulating you, trying to make you say yes when you want to say no, you're going to go, not anymore. I'm going to go find a new intentional friend that's going to be mutually exciting for us to support each other in our growth. You're going to look around and say, yep, I see when I'm with all of you, all I do is complain and talk about other people behind their back. I'm not doing that anymore because I know that's not good. That's not the path to the life of my dreams. So not going to do that anymore. And here's what's going to happen. You start to change, your life changes.
I love it. You
raise your vibration, your life changes.
Right.
New people come in, new possibilities come in. You know, I've spent time here in the last year with women who wake up and say, oh, my marriage has been over for about 25 years. And I just didn't want to acknowledge that. I do want passion. I do want romance. I'm going to let this go with love and continue on. Or, you know what? I've just thought I was just going to stick at this job until I was had mandatory retirement. I don't like doing it. I want to do something else.
Right.
It's it's like we don't consider the possibilities until we rip it all open.
Right. And there's so many possibilities. None of us are it's bold, brave decisions.
Yeah.
And acceptance.
Yes.
And you test it with your inner knowing, not what's going on there in the world.
Yeah.
So what's your vision? What's next? Are you so in the moment? I mean, you're doing so much out in the world. And before, which we will, I know you have a scheduled day, but we will talk more about that. But what's the vision for you and your life?
Yeah. Well, listen, my big theme this year was let it be easy, which I borrowed from my friend who's a teacher, Susie Moore. Let it be easy, because I have a tendency, having practiced that make it happen, make it happen, make it happen, I can get myself right entangled into an 80-hour week before I know it. So I want to monitor myself and stay really conscious about the life I want to live, which is a delicious life, integrated life, where, you know, I'm of service to myself and to others. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying things. So I kind of make sure that I keep an eye on my slippery character, who could go right back to an all or nothing kind of life. So what am I excited about? I started taking things off my someday list into my life list. I decided, you know what would be great? What would be great would be to be paid to travel. Right. But I'm not going to be a travel writer at this stage of the game. So I just started doing workshops. So I'll be in 1 year's time, I'll have been in Italy 3 times doing like renting old ancient villas and doing week-long workshops. I'm going to sign a deal in the next couple of days to take people to Africa on safari with me.
You need an assistant.
Yeah. Right. I know. I mean, it's like, I just sit and go, what do you want to do? I really want to go to Africa. I want a baby elephant in my lap.
I love it.
And instead of being like, yeah, it's not a good time, I don't know, I'm like, I'll do a workshop. I'll do a week-long workshop on safari. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, I just let it be easy and say, what is it that I want? How do I want to feel? And then watch what lines up. And I manage my emotions and my mood. I do my little practices. I stay conscious and notice when I'm like, oh gosh, I feel way off track from where I want to feel. What's happening? What story? Oh, so-and-so said this, and now I'm in a snit about it, but it's a snit in my own head that I am putting them on trial. And now my day's half gone. Not anymore.
No more. Yeah. I love that. So, you know, you have really upticked your work-life balance. That was obviously a huge, completely turned it upside down.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to say this, as you know, I really don't believe in it. It's just words, but I don't think you ever get to work-life balance. I think the thing is, are you happy? Yes. Are you happy? And what does an integrated life look? You know, I feel like when we start trying to make every bucket the same, that's a whole nother set of problems and failure we have to grapple with. So here's what I like to say. Are you happy? Are you happy with the flow of your work in the world and the rest of your life? And is there a way that you can make it more integrated where, you know, your work in the world is your service. It is part of your legacy. It is a part of the you of you. So instead of trying to separate it out in a bucket, it's like, how can you integrate that creativity into your whole life and not be at odds about it
mm-hmm.
and not set yourself up for failure. So yes, I have accomplished that at long last, that there is a, it's happy making. My sense of purpose, my work in the world, my relationships, the most important relationship, the relationship you have with you, all like, so like expanding and improving and deepening and enriching. So as long as I'm doing that, everything else falls into line.
I love it. I love it. And you did it.
Finally.
You did it. You're doing it.
I did it.
And you're
every day I do it.
Every day.
I be it.
You live it.
It's not even a day. Yeah, it's a being it. I'm being it.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Well, it is almost time to wrap up. So I want you to share more. First of all, once again, this book, The Beautiful No, is every woman midlife, 40s, 50s, needs to read this, because if you are not going through the questions, you will. Or I have a feeling most will relate to this, no matter what walk of life. We're yeah. all so different, but one thing we all have in common, and that's what, I mean, I just connected so much with you in this, and I knew who you were, like I knew, but it was just like the feelings. Sometimes we think we're alone.
Yeah.
The ability to be vulnerable. And to
listen, every single chapter, I tried to drop a gem in there. Like if, you know, so that book, The Beautiful No, would be an offering, that it isn't the details of my life are really secondary to, I want every time you read a chapter for you to be able to cull a little gem from it that will work for you in your own life. Or you'll recognize your own gems.
Yes.
You'll recognize your own gems. I'll remind you of them. So that is my hope with that book. And sure. I hope it has a long life because of that.
It has to, because it's a treasure trove. It's just, it is amazing. And I do have a question. Is this on audio as well? And is it yours?
I read it. Oh yes.
It is yours. Okay. So yes. I don't have the audio, but I'm so getting the audio.
Oh my God.
I loved reading it, but I can't wait to walk the beach with you. That's my thing. I walk the beach every day.
Oh, take me with you.
I
take
am
me with you on your journey.
So I highly recommend, if you're not a reader, definitely the audio, because Sherry just has this amazing ability to speak from her heart, be real. And I can't, I'm excited. I am so audio all over it. All right. Yay. So please tell our viewers, where do they find you? Of course, I will put all the details in the show notes, I believe you have something special.
I do. And I have a gift for everybody, because I think we all need a little help getting started. So I did a 5-day workshop called Design Your Life. And we packaged it up with the workbooks and the daily gems and all the things. So I want to offer that to you for free. And that is going to be at sherrysalata.com/living-hip. HIPP.
Amazing.
And so that will be specially for you guys. And you can always find anything that I'm doing at sherrysalata.com.
Sherrysalata.com. And that will be in the show notes, Sherry. I can't thank you enough for being with us. This has been the biggest blessing.
I love having this. That's all I want to talk about, Pam. It's so good, isn't it?
I've always loved it. This is the topic. I feel like we're all put on this earth to be happy, to be whole.
For sure.
To be vulnerable and vibrant, right?
That's right.
So thank you so much, because I know
you're so welcome. Thanks everybody for joining us.
Yes. Thanks for being on.